I know, just in worship, I don't know, my heart, it got filled up. And I don't know, I don't think I'm strange, but Sunday is not enough for me. You know, life is busy, and I understand that, and summers are short. So we have little things that we have to do, but, well, I tell you what, it's nice in the middle of the week to get a little touch from God, worship the Lord, be with the family of God, be encouraged, amen. You know, tonight, you got a guest preacher. His name is Harley. Pastor Brian was supposed to share tonight, and, you know, he hasn't had any help with his dad, and so he's been really busy. He's asked if he could kind of bow out and just take another day in. I just said, well, Pastor Brian, I said, I can't sing, I can't dance, but, you know, my heart is full of joy. And I know that God has a word because his word is alive and it's active. Amen. And it's an honor. It's an honor to be able to share God's word. I consider it an honor. And, you know, we just really prayed and spent some good time with the Lord. And I feel like the Lord, you know, Brian is just like a lot of you as we've talked. You know, there's a lot of things going on. We're busy. We got a lot of hard things. We got a lot of things to take care of. And yet, you know, when we look at the word of God, and the word begins to tell us what to do. You know, I mean, when someone asks the question, what shall I do? And I mean, in all these circumstances in our life, that's exactly what we should be asking. What shall I do? Because there's so many different things that we're facing. And as we think about that, I don't know about you, I came up with, we need to talk to God. That's exactly what we need to do. We need to talk to God. And so, you know, he has all these answers, and he you know, as you hear some of the things, the first thing he says is, as we talk to God, he says some of these things. He says, repent. And a lot of times, you know, repentance, you know, one of the biggest sins is just unbelief. Sometimes we just don't feel we have what we need, or we're going to be able to make it. That's all unbelief. That's sin. And we need to begin to trust God, even though we can't see it. It says faith is unseen. And by it, it produces things, you know. And so, you know, the Bible talks about that, talking to God, and we need to repent. And then it says believe. He says to believe, and then what he says is receive some new life. Praise God. You know, God is in control. Doesn't really matter what's going on. Whether Harley always understands everything, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. Sometimes I take an opinion, I think about something, only to find out that my thinking didn't come across in the right fashion. Like you say, stinking thinking. And so, just to trust the Lord. Father God, we just pray, Lord, today that we can talk to you, and God, that you can speak to our hearts, God, directly. Lord, if there's things that I need, and if there's things that any one of us need, God, just quicken it to our hearts tonight, Lord. Just let our spirit be open, and God, we let the Holy Spirit prick our heart. And God, we ask the Holy Spirit not just to prick our heart, but to lift us up and to strengthen us and to fill us with faith and hope in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, I was reading in a little thing, you know, just about talking to God and about prayer, and there's so many different ones that have writings about it. But there is a little comment that Charles Spurgeon, he made a reference to prayer, and he put it like this. He says it's the slender nerve that moves the muscles of an omnipotent prayer, that it has the power to change circumstances and other people, events, the courses of history. And he just goes on and on to talk about that thing. But he called prayer as this little nerve that moves the omnipotence of God. And, you know, if you look up that, if you don't understand what it means, but omnipotence is just a quality of having unlimited or great power. That's God. And prayer moves that. It's like, you know, I mean, you know, like you say, your brain tells you, you know, move that finger, you know. I mean, just, you know, take a few steps and do what you got to do. And so we realize that God wants us to talk to him. He wants us to talk to him on a regular basis. And prayer is a very, very important thing. The Bible teaches about some of these things. And you know, even in the church, you know, we, before church, 9 to 9:30, some of you haven't been able to come or don't feel a necessity. But if you like to pray, come on in that room between 9 and 9:30 and pray with us. We believe that God wants to do some more moving. And, you know, the Bible says two are better than one. And as you begin to, see that many that are in agreement have the power to begin to change circumstances. That's how things are changed. That's how you might inject something that you need within that prayer or something that begins to happen there. But God wants to use us as a family of God to show the world that He is Lord. He's Lord of all. And He has this great power. Amen? In Proverbs 15 and verse 22, it says this: without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. You know, God wants us to seek advice. You know, that's some of the problems that a lot of us run into, is that we think we know. And so we begin to set a course. And sometimes we'll even talk to God just a little bit thinking that we know, but we never check it. We aren't going to be the only one that's going to know when God is doing something or that God is to do something. And so, you know, the Bible begins to talk about, you know, prayer and consulting God, talking to God is a very important thing. And without that, plans, he says, are frustrated. A lot of times people have the tendency of talking to everybody but God. They begin to talk to everybody that they think they need to talk to, and really what we got to start out with is first talking to God. And God begins to go there, and then he says that, you know, if it's not clear and very obvious, then we need to begin to get a little bit of counsel, a little bit of, you know, people that have been there that know that, begin to bounce some things off them, because God never intended us to get into trouble. Amen? And so plans can fail, but with counsel, it says that, you know, that with advisors, it can succeed. I don't know about you. I want my plans and my life to succeed. And so we need to learn prayer. I really believe that. As I was looking at some of these different things and talking about prayer, and, you know, in our reading, I want to go to Acts chapter 16, and that's where I'm gonna stay today for a little bit. But, you know, when we think about prayer, prayer has this power to not only change our lives, but it has the power to change circumstances. We can change things. We've seen it. How many have seen God change circumstances? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So now that there's a new circumstance, God is still the same. You know, he's able to change circumstances, and he can take events and he can make them different. I don't know about you, there's some events in life that just aren't much fun. And yet God can take them things and they can use them events to create something good. That's what God does with these things as we begin to learn. And you know, he can change the events. He can change the lives of other people. God is in the business of changing hearts, changing lives, restoring and renewing. And as we look at some of this, that's what prayer has the ability to begin to bring in. I don't know about you, but I got saved because my sister got saved and my mother got saved, and they believed the promises of God. And in the midst of just absolute chaos and all this thing, you know, I was freaking out my mom. I'm not going to explain what was happening this particular day, but it was really terrible. And, you know, I blew a little weed smoke in my mom's face and told her I'm going to drink and do drugs until the day I die. And she looked at me and she just said, you know, I don't know about you, most mothers right about then would have went, yeek, and they'd have started pulling out their hair. But she looked at me, and she's not been one that's had peace. I mean, this lady beat up the principal because he hit my brother with a rubber hose. She beat him up, knocked him out right on the ground. I mean, you know, she wasn't somebody in control. And all of a sudden, as I did this to her, She just said, I'm not worried about you. I'm praying for you. I gave you to God. I'll tell you what, I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks, two solid weeks. I couldn't sleep. And then finally, God showed up in my bedroom. I mean, I'm serious. The Spirit of God came in, and I believe that it was just flat out an answer to their prayers, because they believe that once, she said, when one gets saved, the rest are going to get saved, she said. She believed God. And so God wants us to begin to learn how to do some of these things. And so I think about the prayer, and I look in the Bible, and prayer needs to be something that is done on a regular basis, not just here and there. Prayer is something that's supposed to be on a regular basis, and we can back these things up with Scripture. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 16, it says this, and it happened as they were going to the place of prayer. In other words, there's a place of prayer. It's a regular thing. As they were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at this, I begin to see a little picture right away. It suggests that these guys frequently went to prayer. There's something that was regular about it. Sometimes in our lives, we're not very regular when it comes to prayer. And God is speaking to me, and he's speaking, I'm sure, through me right now, that we need to have this in our lives to begin to be there. And so, Paul, you know, he had this, you know, it says, following after Paul in verse 17, following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming the way of salvation. Now, here we got a woman that she's bound, she's a psychic, and she's clearly under a demonic influence that has an ability to bring her master much money. In other words, she is moved by demons. She is in tune to the powers of hell, and now she's following in these guys because the devil knows Jesus. I mean, the devil goes to church. I want to tell you something. The devil talks to us all the time. He is a friend of our old nature. And so Paul, you know, they clearly seen this thing, that this woman, you know, she's part of an occult. And after several days, I mean, you know, now you got to understand, it says now after several days. In other words, they were going regularly to prayer. And she kept following them, tormenting them. And they got fed up with it a little bit, you know, kind of neat. And after several days, it says they couldn't handle it anymore. And it says in verse 18, she continued doing this for many days. How many days? I don't even know. But Paul was greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. Now, sometimes we need to get annoyed with the powers of hell. And we need to know that there is only one way to face the powers of hell. And we've talked about it. We've shared about it. That's in the name of Jesus. What did Paul do? Paul got annoyed with this woman being held by the powers of God, by the demon. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, Spirit, come out of her. And that very moment, that woman's life changed. She lost her power. She lost the control that Satan had on her. Now, I don't know about you. There's a lot of people out here today that we need to begin to start to speak the name of Jesus to. And I don't know. I think, you know, they had this boldness. You know, as I begin to look into their lives, they speak a story to me, because I find out that Harley comes a little short sometimes of what God wants me to be able to do and believe God for. And so, you know, they spoke to this woman, and right away this young lady's life was totally transformed. Now, isn't that what God wanted to do? Well, that ain't what her masters wanted, was it? And so the demons were gone, and We can read, I want to read a couple more verses real quick to you. Because in all these circumstances, you know, God wants us to be able to pray. Now in verses 19 and 20, it says this. But when their master saw that their hope of profit was gone, I don't know about you, but the world is all into profit. And some of these people that are trying to control our lives are all into profit. And I really believe that a lot of things are just done under demonic powers. And we need to begin to realize that in the name of Jesus, that is the power that comes against the powers of hell. That is the power that breaks the power in people's lives. And God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to get annoyed with some of this stuff. I don't know about you, I'm annoyed. I can't even watch the news because it annoys me. Makes me angry. But, you know, God is saying, well, then be angry enough to go out and say something to a few. All right. Okay. You might have to bail me out of jail. Or I got a new ministry in jail. I don't know. But, you know, we see that these guys, they just did it because they weren't afraid. And so, at that very moment, these demons came out and then it says, but they lost their hope. And it says, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. Now, all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't too great of a setting. And it says, and when they had brought them to the chief magistrate, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews. Well, there are more than Jews. They're believers. And that's what we're supposed to do, is throw things into confusion. You know, I mean, the world is messed up. And we begin to see some things there that, you know, this woman was a slave and she was bringing them a lot of money, but she didn't have her own life. She was being controlled by these characters and these demonic spirits. And they had enough ability to speak the word of God into a situation, whether it brought, you know, I mean, it brought something that wasn't the coolest thing that happened. And yet, you know, sometimes we see this, that, you know, they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to come against evil forces. And that's what God wants us to understand, that in this day that we live in, there's a lot of evil forces, but God doesn't want us to be afraid. He's Lord of all. And he doesn't want us to fear for our life or any other kind of thing like that. And as we begin to look at this just a little bit more, you know, there was an attack on these guys. It says in verse 22, the crowd rose up together against them and the chief magistrate and tore their robes off. Wow. And proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. That don't sound too cool. I'm not too excited about that. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Okay. Now, I look at this just a little bit. And, you know, I guess I'll read verse 24 too. It says, and he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, in your life, in my life, I don't know, if you are going to raise up and serve God, you are going to be attacked. I can guarantee that. Sometimes by a friend, sometimes by a family member, sometimes just whatever. You're going to be attacked. But one thing that God is trying to tell me and convince me of is that not every attack is a mark of failure. You understand? Even though we're attacked and maybe beaten and abused or accused, not every attack is a failure. And so here all of a sudden, you know, they went through this. And I don't know about you, I'd be asking God, why, God? Wouldn't you be? Right now, I'd be asking God, well, God, why, man? Oh, man, I don't like getting beat. I don't like falling down, getting hurt, even if I fell on my own. But you know, here all of a sudden, sometimes when we're attacked, it can be a sign of success. Because when you're succeeding, you are going to be attacked. See, that's what I'm starting to realize, some of this stuff in the Word of God, and that God wants me to understand that. And yet God is always able, how many know that God is able to work out all things for what? Good for those who are called according to His purpose. They're called according to His purpose to make a difference. And that's what God has called us. And so all of a sudden, we see something that, I don't know about you, you know, this guard, you know, there was this head guard. They threw him in these irons and they locked their feet, you know. And I read in the Bible that, you know, and even Seth just said it, but he says, "You are our letters written in the heart." And that all men are going to read our letter, our life. See, we're a letter. And people read that letter. And not the words that we say, but they read our letter. They read who we are. They read our actions. They read these things. And so here you got this jailer. I kind of thought about it because, you know, when I talked to Troy and Seth and these guys, and you know, they're not surprised by nothing that happens in these jails. And they have seen it time and time and time again. And they know a gamer when they see one. And so all of a sudden, here, Paul and Silas are thrown into this prison. Now they're in handcuffs. And, you know, I think this jailer, everybody that they've thrown into these handcuffs and beat and done these things, what they hear from them is, "You effing and boom, beep, 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 beep. Can't say these things. It's not proper." But that's exactly what they hear. "Ah, you don't have the right, you know, this and that." And so all of a sudden, here this guy, he's used to it all. He's seen it all. And so all of a sudden, here's Paul and these guys. And here, all of a sudden, in verse 25, it says, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." They weren't cursing. They weren't licking their wounds. They weren't crying. They weren't complaining. They did something that I have a hard time doing when things are rough. Praise God and talk to God and sing to God. See, God is, I don't know about you, God is convicting me when I'm sitting here trying to figure out what I should share with you. And so here they're singing, and you know, the amazing thing about it is when you direct things to God, things begin to happen. And so all of a sudden we see verses 26 and 27. It says, "And suddenly," suddenly God showed up, didn't it? "And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains fell off." Now, this is because these guys are not normal. They're Jesus freaks. They want their life to be Jesus. You understand? You know, and I'm thinking about this. You know, we get so distracted with so many things that we forget that the greatest thing is to make Jesus Christ first. And in the midst of any circumstance, suddenly, as we begin to be in that place with God, God is going to show up. And He's going to shake some things. So all these things happen. And it says in verse 27, it says, "When the jailer awoke, he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped." Now, I don't know about you. that tells me that there's great power in prayer and worship. It's fun to worship God, wasn't it? It's fun to get before the Lord in prayer. And there's a lot of power there. And men of God, I don't care whether the name was Charles Spurgeon's or who they are, they begin to learn these things. And they change the course of history for many, many, many people. And we're no different than any one of these men. Not a Paul, not a Silas, not anything. And so this earth shook and the prison doors flew open. And he was about to take his life, wasn't he? And so it's really kind of funny because right about then, I thought of something. Paul could have said, "Man, let's get out of here now. The doors are open. Let's get out of here." But that was not his desire. His desire was that this guy was going to get saved. So he stayed there. Are you an idiot, Paul? You had freedom and you didn't. And you know, I mean, there's a higher calling that I want God to get into my spirit, because I think that, you know, I see this. Instead of choosing freedom, he chose to stay and bring the jailer to Christ. It is amazing. It's flat out amazing. And I'm thinking about this, that God, you know, I don't know about you, but I think I'd have been the first one to run out that door. And if anybody else made it, it'd be all right because I got out. And yet, Paul, he just knew Jesus. And life wasn't life without Christ. Life was Christ. And I see that with that, there's nothing that's impossible. And so, you know, the jailer, we began to come down. I'm going to read verse 29. It says, "And he called for lights, rushed in, and trembled with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas." That's pretty serious. "And after he brought them out," he brought them out. They didn't have to escape. He brought them out. And it says, "After he brought them out, he said, 'Sir,'" in verse 30, "'what must I do to be saved?'" He's seen something that no man normally sees. And the jailer received Christ. He knew that there is something totally different about these guys. These guys are not normal. Just like Paul, you know, just like Peter and John, they recognized them as having been with Jesus. That's why these things were happening, and they couldn't stop them, because they recognized them as having been with Jesus. And Paul and these guys, they were with Jesus. That was the most important thing. And so they stayed there. And I don't know about you, but I kind of see that. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" You talk about evangelism, you know, radical evangelism. Wow, that's it. He seen it as an evangelistic opportunity. I seen it as torture. And he seen it as opportunity. And so, I don't know, you know, this action, it was actually, this attack was actually something that God set into place. And so we see that this jailer, you know, when you look at God's word, it's kind of amazing, but it always comes to pass. And so we see that in verse 32, or 31 and 32, it says, "And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" Now, he's talking to this guy, but now he's telling him, "Your whole house is going to be saved." I mean, Paul, he just was tapping into the things of God, because his life wasn't important. And he said, "Then he spoke the word to them," verse 32, "the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household." Now, I don't know about you, but when a person gets converted, you know, we see something there that after the whole family believed and the whole family was baptized, immediately we see in their lives a changed life. Now, if you're talking to people and they're not changing, something's wrong. They're not getting saved. It's truth. Sorry to say, God, that's not salvation to stay the same. Salvation is getting free from the power of demons, from the power of hell, from the power of sin and death. Slave to all these old things. God sets people free. And so he changes a person's life. And I believe that salvation has an evidence of being free. That's my opinion. I don't know. I've done a lot of reading, a lot of praying, a lot of different things, but I really believe that when a person gets truly saved, their life begins to change. Some are a little slower at getting it than others, but God truly does a wonderful thing. And so we see that in verses 33, and that very hour of the night, they took them and washed their wounds, and they were baptized. In other words, there were some things that began to take place. They wanted to take care of Paul and Silas. They seen something, and then they wanted to get baptized, and their whole house. And then not only that, it says in verse 34, and they brought them into his house. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This guy hadn't even talked to anybody yet. This is still night that these things are happening. He hasn't even faced anyone yet. And if he would have been guilty of them getting out, he would have been killed. So now the man doesn't matter to him anymore. What must I do to be saved? Now I want whatever you got. You got something I need. I can see it in your life. You are a letter to me. I know what must I do to be saved. And he led him down the line. And then they truly got saved because then they even brought him into the house and they set food before them. I mean, this isn't something you do to prisoners. You understand? It set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now, life didn't matter anymore. They just came to the presence and the knowledge of God. They got free. And whatever's going to happen tomorrow doesn't make any difference. I want to know Jesus, and I want what you got. And, you know, I see something that, you know, like I said, their whole life changed, and he was willing publicly to be known as a Christian from that moment on. You know, a lot of people, man, I've talked to them. I mean, you know, they've worked alongside a Christian for 10 years and didn't know the person was a Christian. Worked side by side with somebody for 10 years and didn't know they're a Christian. I shared that in a church one day, and the guy told me, I'd never have you back. I gave that testimony. I said, what kind of testimony is that? Yeah, I got a Christian at work. I've been working with him. I said, 10 years? He said, yeah. And you've never talked about Jesus to this guy? I said, man, that I told him, I said, that ain't no testimony. That's a testimony of being a dead dud. Right? That's the testimony of no life. And so that church, like I said, that we shared that testimony in, they said they'd never have me back because probably half the church did the same thing. God wants us to be a light and a city on a hill. Doesn't want us to fear man or what man can do or whether man will put money in the offering box or what they'll do, you know, or be, you know, I mean, God wants us to put the priority of Jesus Christ above all. I really believe that, above everything. And again, you aren't going to know everything. You need counsel. You need people to agree with you. You need love, because I know a lot of people that went out into space cadet land trying to think about some of these things. But suddenly we see that if you follow some of these things on, that guy's life, he was one of the founder men of, you know, one of the foundations of the church in Philippi. That jailer. And so, you know, as you begin to see some of these things, God had a plan. God had a plan through that demonic girl that he wanted free. And I'm going to put you through a little smoke and fire here, Butch. But don't worry. There's going to be a good outcome. Amen? There'll be a good outcome. And so, you know, the end of this thing, you know, the end of the episode is this. We're going to get on to, let's see. Now it came in verse 35. Let's see. And when it came the day, the chief magistrate seen that the police were saying, release those men. Okay? And the jailer reported these words to Paul and saying, the chief magistrate have sent to release you. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul, man, this guy, he's something. But Paul said to them, you have beaten us in public without a trial, men who are Romans. You have thrown us into prison, and now you are sending us away secretly? No, indeed. But let them come themselves and bring us out. I'm telling you, this is kind of cool. This is you talk about a macho man. That's cool. And so, you know, we see that, you know, I don't know whether they call them police or whatever, but reported the soldiers, they went and reported the words to the chief magistrate, and they were afraid when they heard they were Romans. See, God had a plan all along. Not only for that girl, not only for the jailer and his family, not only for the ones that heard and seen everything in that jail, but he had a way of saying, I'm going to make it right for you, Paul. You got beat a little bit, but I'm going to make you happy. And he says, they came and appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. Now, and they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, because that's where they were going to begin with. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. See, they're on their way to Lydia's to encourage the family of God, the church that was there. And so, you know, like I said, the end of this here thing is that they had to get a personal apology from the chief magistrate and all these people. And they ain't going anywhere till you come and apologize and let me out of here yourself. And they got it. I don't know about you. You were wrong. And you know, I mean, and not only that, then they got to go to the very place that they came for and encourage the brethren. Kind of some episodes that happened in the process. But God was in charge of it all. And so sometimes, I don't know about you, but some of these things going on in our life, there's got to be a reason for some of these things, and there's got to be a lesson in some of this, and we need to learn to talk to God, and we need to learn to put God first, because prayer really is a power that changes lives. See, they were on their way to regular prayer. That leaves some of us out. We need to get regular prayer into our life. We need to regularly talk to God, listen to God. And I begin to think about this again. I see that because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did, our prayers, see, we've got more of an advantage than even Paul. We have the righteousness of God in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We make mistakes. We do these things. But because of the righteousness of God in Christ, we have the right to come to the very throne of God and make requests. And we need to begin to realize that and believe that. And we need to know that God hears the prayers of the righteous. And because of Jesus, and we can truly change history. I believe that. I believe we can change history. Sometimes I made a little note there that sometimes we might have to join in a little bit of suffering. I mean, it talks about, the Bible sometimes says that sometimes there'll be a little time of suffering. Christians don't like to do that. They don't like giving up their precious time. They don't like suffering for anything else. But I'll tell you what, Paul and these guys seen things that no man gets to see. They get to see the power of God on a regular basis. They get to see God change lives on a regular basis. They get to see God turn disaster into miraculous things that change the future in the Church of Philippi and families and communities. And I want to be part of that. I want God to do something, and not just because we're here doing a meeting, but because we are the people of God, and we're gonna live that life, we're gonna speak it, and we're gonna see our lives joined together with God, and we're gonna see the great power of God and the fullness of God. I really believe that that's what God wants. And so I guess I'll end with this. You know, I realized this a long time ago. What we do for God lasts forever. The only thing that you can bring out of this life isn't my boat that was stuck on a ramp or the walleyes that we are going to eat. The only thing that I can bring with me is what I've done for God. My reward's in heaven. And, you know, we have eternity to spend these things with Jesus. I think that as we begin to give our lives here, the closer, you know, I don't know what degrees they are in heaven. I'm not even going to get into that. But I believe the more we walk with Jesus here, the closer we'll be able to walk with him when we get there. I believe that. Amen. And so when we sing, I want to see your face, I hear these words, I want to see you in action, Harley. I want to see a little more action from you, praise God. Maybe I'll have to not buy so many worms. Maybe I can use something to catch people, praise God. Amen. But God, we love you. Lord, we're a church and a people that love you. And no, Lord, we know we're not perfect, but we do thank you for Jesus. And that because of you and because of the forgiveness of sins and because of the righteousness of God in Christ, Lord, we can come before the throne of God. Lord, help us to be believers. And Lord, help us to be a letter that speaks good things. And Lord, let us not be afraid when there's trials and tribulations. But God, let us talk to you and find out, God, what shall we do? And I know, God, that you're going to tell us what to do clearly. And so, Father, we just thank you for our life that we have in you. God, set us all free. Lord, cause us to forgive ourselves. And, Lord, look to you for a brighter future. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Love you guys. Is there anything to give away today?